Time for a little sports talk as we say hello to Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubanks. And boy, do we have stuff to talk about.
I got to tell you, Cindy, early August is not a hot time for sports generally, but this is a busy, busy week.
Well, we have to start with the big shakeup at the Tigers front office. You see Dave Dombrowski showing the door after 14 years as president and general manager. What are your thoughts first on the timing of this? Day after the trade deadline.
Strange, frankly. Yeah. And for a quiet, well-run organization, both the Tigers and the Red Wings, both owned by the Ilitch family, of course. They are the Boy Scouts, essentially, of these pro sports. This is a little weird. And also his departure was a bit weird, that there was no statement from him thanking the Ilitch family, and there's no statement from the Ilitches or the Tigers thanking Dave Dombrowski. Not even the usual corporate sort of we wish him well kind of thing.
Yeah. Allowing him to pursue other opportunities.
We've seen these emails before, haven't we?
Yeah.
This one was strange for a guy also. Dombrowski was not a controversial figure. He's not like a big drinker or, you know, out in the paper a lot. He's a very quiet executive. And to see this happen was, as Shakespeare said, there's something rotten in Denmark. I don't know what it is, but it smells a little funny.
Well, and I thought it was interesting, too, that, you know, Al Avila gets the call on Saturday, has to sit on it. They do it a charity event on Monday night, and now Dombrowski's saying he knew something was up. He could just sense it as the spider sense was going. But I thought it was interesting there wasn't a single Ilitch at the Avila press conference. I mean, they showed up when Jeff Blashill was named coach. Chris Ilitch was right there. We appreciate
right.
that Mr. Ilitch is 86 and, you know, not in the best of health. But I thought that was weird, no?
It is weird. And you can always read too much into this stuff. It's tea leaf business and so on. But it's kind of like the Kremlin back in the day, that where you sit on the stage has great import, actually. And this is one of these royal palace things where how these statements are handled, who shows up where, how it all works out is part of the political process of who's in power and who's not. I am very surprised that things seem to have ended in some way on a sour note with Dombrowski, who did, I think, a very good job. Here's what I don't get. Mm. This franchise from 87 when they were in the AL Finals against Minnesota to basically 2006 when they finally get back to the World Series against the Cardinals, they were dead. This was one of the most moribund franchises in sports. Dombrowski brought them back. You've got two World Series appearances. You got five division titles. This guy did a very good job without spending the, you know, spending the whole ranch. They spent money, but not Yankee-style money. So the whole thing kind of surprises me, frankly. And the trade deadline, we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
That's when you show your cards. That's when you either say, we're in, playing to win now, or you're saying, we're out, fire sale, get what we can while we can, we're building for the future. And I thought it could go either way, but I really did say, and I said on the radio, that I thought they're going to be in, because only four games out of a wild card berth, and they are out. Not only are they out, they're way out with Dombrowski. They've got a whole new architect in mind. Now, if Al Avila is the man, then he's got some work to do. If he's not, then heads up on who's going to be next.
And if you're Brad Ausmus?
Don't put down a mortgage. I like the guy. He's a nice guy, but I think he's made some questionable decisions as a manager. You're also hearing a bit of smoke coming from the locker room that he has not got the team. Man, you can solve almost any problem in sports. But once you lose the team, lose the locker room, I have never seen a coach get it back.
How would you sum up the Dave Dombrowski era?
Refreshing, frankly. After about 20 years of not much, they were competitive. They were fun to watch. It was a professional, well-run organization. Problem is, they didn't quite finish the job.
And he's even said that even in statements since this. Didn't win that final game of the season, of the postseason.
And, man, that is a brutal business, by the way. Now, look, this guy walks away a millionaire. So, there are people I feel sorry for at Enron who had their pensions, you know, sucked dry and all the rest. But this is surprising and no doubt disappointing. And Dombrowski, I think, was a decent guy, too.
Changing over to another topic that is impossible to miss. It started when he hit town. It has not let up, and that is the media obsession with Jim Harbaugh. He visited the U.S. Supreme Court. He's here. He's there. There was a traffic accident on 94. He was there. He tweets. Mark D'Antonio did a car wash at ESPN the other day, and everybody out of the gate started talking about Harbaugh. What's with this media fawning over Jim Harbaugh?
He has more charisma than most. That's one thing for sure. He's probably the hottest coach in the country last year as far as in demand. Any NFL team with an opening wanted him, and some were about to create an opening to get him. Obviously, any college would have taken him that had an opening. Clearly, Michigan was at the top of that list. I recall following Bo into rooms, and what was interesting about that is it was most interesting when he was in a room where they did not know who he was necessarily, a Wendy's in Alabama, whatever, and people still turned around. Something about that guy walks in a room, energy, the aura, whatever it is. Harbaugh's got that in spades. He learned from his dad. He learned from Bo. Mm-hmm. People turn around. He also, by the way, is completely authentic, which means sometimes they like him and sometimes they don't. But I've never seen him. I've known the guy since fourth grade. I've never seen him ever be phony. And that's rare these days. When he's enthusiastic, he is truly, sincerely enthusiastic. And when he's not, he's not. So you don't know what you're going to get. He's almost always interesting. And poor Mark D'Antonio. This guy, by the way, in the last 5 years, his team has won 10 games four times. He's won two division titles. He's won a Big Ten title. He's won two BCS bowl games. In the last – here's a bar bet for you, Cindy.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, what college football team has been in the top five both years? And you're going to guess Alabama or Florida State or Ohio State. Yeah. You're going to be wrong. It's Michigan State. Nobody will guess that. He gets on ESPN. What do they ask him? Questions about Harbaugh, who, by the way, is 0-0 in the Big Ten. Let's be clear about this. And they call Mark D'Antonio Mike. What's
yes,
a fella got to do?
Mike, I know. And I'm wondering, do you think this could create kind of a backlash or a Harbaugh fatigue before there's even a game played?
Not before a game is played. Question is, Jim has not gone more than 4 years at San Diego, Stanford, or the Niners. He could have, I'm sure, in the first two places. Things soured for a variety of reasons at San Francisco. But my guess is he'll be in for the long run at Michigan. And don't forget, too, I mean, Bo had his ups and downs as well. You just can't go 20 years without him. Yeah. But what it does do is this. D'Antonio, Urban Meyer at Ohio State are getting less attention than the guy who's not won anything yet. But they all know that right now the Big Ten is the conference to talk about. It hasn't been in at least a decade, maybe more. And all ships will rise with this tide. That is good for Michigan State. That is good for Ohio State. TV ratings are going to soar.
Let's switch over to something that we're going to be talking about in greater depth in a few weeks, and that is your new book, End Zone, The Rise and Fall and Return of Michigan Football, which looks at...
Looks at the rise, fall, and return of Michigan football. And by return, by the way, I want to be clear, I'm not predicting any Big Ten titles anytime soon. The return is that the Michigan family saw something wrong with what was going on. The values were being challenged, were being threatened. Mm-hmm. The students, the lettermen, the faculty, the alums, the regents ultimately all stood up and said, we have to fix this. And then they went out and they fixed this. So you got a new athletic director, a new football coach, and you got Harbaugh in. And it's all pretty amazing, by the way. And I don't care what you think you know about what happened. Trust me, you've got no idea. Because people on the beat who've read this thing have said, man, I had no idea.
And I just know personally from having watched you sweat this thing out for all. You've done a lot of digging. You've done so much research, exhaustive. And you were part of a post this week on MGo Blog giving us a sneak peek at some of the things in the book. So share a couple tidbits with us.
Sneak peek. See, one of them is the student government leaders, by the way, Michael Propery and Bobby Deschelles, both a junior and a senior, stats major, poli sci major. These guys actually ran circles around the athletic department in regents meetings because they had better data and better analysis. They were smarter than the guys, the PR whizzes and so on, that they're up against. And the faculty recognizes. The faculty gets data, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They're not stupid either. So that was a fascinating little, you know, David and Goliath story that was fun to see unfold. Less fun to see unfold was the Shane Morris situation. And that was, it turns out, from my research on this, far less a medical issue than it was a logistical issue and ultimately a PR issue. Mm-hmm. And what you'll see is that Dave Brandon removed safeguard after safeguard in the department, experienced guys from equipment managers to sports information directors and so on. By the time you finally have a crack in the dam, all the safety nets are gone. I've got four metaphors going here. I'm not going to stop.
Yes, gotcha.
And that's why this one ultimately little injury, believe it or not, was a pretty small injury, a mild probable concussion. Mm-hmm. That became such a co-celeb nationally because they had no idea what to do. The Monday meeting starts at 8 o'clock in the morning and ends at 1 o'clock the next morning. All right, that is a 17-hour meeting. That's not how you do it. And that's how screwed up the PR was.
Fascinating. Well, we know that you have a Literati-sponsored presentation and a Q&A about End Zone at Rackham Auditorium. That'll be September 1st with a lot of other events around Michigan. And you can get all the details at johnubacon.com. We'll put that out right now.
Bring 1,000 of your best friends to Rackham Tuesday night. It's a big house.
September 1st. And we'll be doing an in-depth segment on Stateside. As soon as I get the book, I'll start reading it. Make sure that happens.
We have a deal.
Always good talking sports with you. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Cindy.